Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Sister Fiani, for the welcome. And I just want to say thank you also to the women's leader and the team there for inviting me to give this word of exhortation as the women are in charge of the service today. I was very impressed by what Mariana just said, because many times when people have problems, they don't think that the church is a safe place for them to come and be open. And what she did was very raw and very touching, and I'm glad that she felt that she was able to come and to share with us in that way. And please call me after church, Sister Mariana. I might be able to help you.
Amen.
So, thank God for another time of gathering together the people of God and the faithfulness of those who gather on this telephone line Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, and on other occasions to give glory to God. God will reward the faithfulness of his people in seeking to proclaim his truth through whatever channel that we have at our disposal. And I just want to thank God for that, that the things that he has called us to, that we are able to sustain ourselves in the endeavors as we labor in the kingdom of God. I want to just pray before I go any further. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the gathering together of your people. And Lord God, as I am to deliver this brief word, I just ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be acceptable, Lord God, and that your people will be edified in some way through what is spoken today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray for your anointing upon your word. I pray for your anointing upon me as I should speak this word today. And I just give you thanks in Jesus' name. If you were to ask me for a text, I wasn't able to produce one when Sister Judy asked me to tell her one, but I looked at all the scriptures that I was going to use today in this brief exhortation, and I think I would like for us to just turn our attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. The subject I want to briefly speak about today is about sanctification. It is one of the major doctrines of the church, which I think we are no longer emphasizing or teaching in our churches. And I think that doctrine is very important. That's why we find sometimes that new believers are not very strong in the faith, because they are not being taught the doctrines of the church that would ground them in the Word of God and enable them to be strong in their belief. It seems to me that especially in the United States, in some cases, I won't generalize, but it seems as if God has been reduced to being a body. He, God, is supposed to get us immediately out of what we are going through, and I put that in quotation marks, and give us everything we ask for. I seem to recall the word telling us in Acts 14, verse 22, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. We hear a little talk of Christ-like character, allowing the beauty of Jesus to be seen in us, holiness, consecration, Christ-like speech, behavior, thinking, and alas, sanctification. I am not a Bible scholar, but I guess I'm indulging in a bit of nostalgia for the good old days of what we would call consecration services. Those were in part an admission on our part that we needed the dross burned out of us. Because as is often said, when we get saved, our spirits are saved, but our souls need to be saved. The altar was a regular part of our services, where the saints of God would weep over their sins and ask God to purify them. I have just been observing believers around me, and I am sometimes surprised at what I see. I am not claiming to be it, quote unquote, but my idea of Christ-like behavior sometimes seems to differ from other people. So I want to share a few thoughts on sanctification, because the word kept coming to me over and over again, and I tried to find another topic to talk about, but whenever I would sit down to read the Bible or go to church, it just kept being in my spirit. Salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is a three-phase sequence of one, justification, two, sanctification, and glorification. It is what is often expressed as we are saved from the penalty of sin, we are being saved from the power of sin, and we'll be saved from the presence of sin, which is glorification. 1 Thessalonians 4, which you just read, verse 3, tells us that this is the will of God, even our sanctification. And so that we know that when we endeavor to live a life that is sanctified, we know that we are acting in accordance with the will of God. Bible scholars show three stages of sanctification. One is positional. Romans 8, verse 11, where the believer is in union with Christ, and that is the most important part of whatever I would say, that when we accept that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord, we are brought into union, into fellowship with Him. We are in Christ.
Yes.
And we have been justified and declared righteous. The second stage is progressive sanctification, which is accomplished by the Holy Spirit as the believer is filled with the Holy Spirit as a result of no unconfessed sin in their life. It is an act entirely of God. It is an act entirely of God, so that the righteous man lives by faith and not works. However, it does involve a choice. 1 Peter 1, verse 14 to 16 exhorts us, be ye holy, for I am holy. The third stage of sanctification is ultimate sanctification, which speaks about our glorification. That is the final stage of salvation and is the ultimate end of a believer's life. What does the word sanctify or sanctification mean? Theologians say that the law of first mention sets the tone or meaning of a word, and the first mention of the word sanctify occurs in Genesis 2, verse 3, where it says God blessed or sanctified the seventh day and because in it he rested from all his works which God created and made. The word used there for sanctify is the word kadosh, which in Hebrew means holy. So when we talk about sanctification, we are talking about holiness. And the meaning is to set apart, to be set apart, or to be distinct from the rest. It signifies that someone or something will stand out due to a unique characteristic or a unique purpose. While God is undeniably without sin, the term kadosh isn't merely an assertion of his sinlessness. It's an emphasis on his unparalleled nature and distinctive essence. We as Jamaicans sometimes use the word holy as a word of derision or a curse. We call our brethren who are trying to live right holier than thou, quote unquote, and often look with scorn on those who, to say it in the Jamaican parlance, are going like them holy. But the word of God, as I said already in 1 Peter 1:15-17, but as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That sounds like a command to me. The question, is God going to give us a command or an instruction which is impossible to obey? I don't think so. So if he is asking us to be holy, then it is entirely possible because we are now one, we are in union with Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And the word of the Lord invites us to work out our salvation. It doesn't mean that we have to make a plan for our own salvation because Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. But it does mean that there is something in there that has to be worked out. It's on the inside. And our endeavors as believers has to bring that out on the outside. And so the word of God invites us in 2 Corinthians 6:17 to come out from among them and be ye holy or separate and touch not the unclean thing. The word holy is scary to us as it often carries the connotation of purity and righteousness in modern usage. And we often rush to explain, I'm not saying I'm perfect. And we use this to brush off correction from others who may be trying to correct or admonish us. This is because when we speak of holy today, the immediate inference is that they are devoid of sin. But as I said earlier, God is holy because he is set apart from all other gods and because he is the creator while they are not. And our call is to holiness because we are now in union with Christ Jesus, and we have been sanctified. To sanctify is to make holy, to make holy or to set apart as holy. A theologian named Peter Gentry examined the use of the word holy in the Hebrew scriptures and concluded that the basic meaning of the word is consecrated or devoted. In scripture, it operates within the context of a covenantal relationship and expresses commitment. So we see that those consecration services we used to attend was an attempt by our forebears or the past generation of our parents' day to align their lives with God's holiness. It was an admission that who God was and what he was calling us unto was possible if we would surrender ourselves to him. I was sitting in church the other day, and the word sanctification had been rolling around in my mind as a topic for this word of exhortation, when the Spirit quickened Romans 6 and verse 6 to my heart. We know that our old self was crucified, was nailed to the cross with him, that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we should no longer be enslaved to sin. Sanctification is about us being set apart unto God, but also about being set apart from sin. I want to turn to that particular scripture, Romans 6. Just give me a minute, or if somebody finds it before I do, then you can go ahead and read it for me. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Did somebody find it?
Romans 6 and 6,
yes, Romans 6, verse 19.
I speak as a man of men because the infirmity of your flesh. For as we have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even shall yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were when sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things? Whereof ye are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. No? But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit. Holiness and the everlasting life.
Amen. So we see that we all go to heaven, and we talk about the gift of God being eternal life. But we see that there is a fruit that leads to our sanctification. It is a product of our salvation. One description of sanctification says, it is the action or process of being freed from sin. And that's exactly what Paul is addressing in this chapter 6. As the process of sanctification proceeds, we are to continue to present ourselves as slaves to righteousness. Now, a slave is a captive. A slave is obedient to the will of the master. A slave is at his disposal and command. And as we yield to that process of enslavement to righteousness, it will produce a fruit. It leads to sanctification or the purification, which ends in eternal life. Most of us don't do obvious, or for want of a better word, big sins. But our attitudes, how we treat other believers, how we treat other drivers on the road, how we relate to people who serve us. Do we pay our debts? Do we speak the truth? Are we sensitive to the needs of others? Who are our associates? Who are the people that we relate to? I see so much meanness and selfishness and self-centeredness among believers these days that sometimes I am appalled. Brethren, the song says, O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. And we know about how gold or silver is purified. It is put to great heat. Great heat is applied to it. And when that liquid is heated, because at that point it is reduced to a liquid, the impurities begin to float to the top. And do you think they just continue that process? No, the impurities are removed until what you have is what I think the ultimate is 24 karat gold or pure silver. And so that is the process of sanctification, where we are separated, we are marked out. The scripture said we are a peculiar people. Peculiar means a little odd. It means different. It means otherness. And it is in the same manner that God is other from us. He's distinctive. He's unique. And it's the same thing with us. The scripture, the world invites us not to conform, not to shape ourselves. American society is very loose and everybody talks about freedom. But the standard for our lives is the word of God. It is unchanging. The scripture said before one jot or one tittle of that word, the tittle, most of us probably don't know what it is, but if you've ever seen Hebrew written, it's yes. Those little marks over the letter. Yes. That is what it is talking about. Yes. Not one jot nor one tittle is going to be removed. So the entire word applies to our lives. And the fact that we are in a different environment, does that mean that the word is watered down or changed to suit the environment? The word of the Lord remains the same. It's applicable to us, whether we are in Jamaica, which has a very strong religious Christian influence, or we are in America, where people seem to feel free to choose and to make decisions outside of the word of God. We are to shine as light in the darkness. A city that is set upon a hill is distinctive. Everybody knows where that lighthouse is. Every ship on the water can, within distance of that light, can see it. So I am encouraging us, brethren, not to allow the world to put us into its mold, not to fall from our steadfastness, but to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ.
Yes.
Oh, thou Spirit divine, all your nature make mine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. That's where I'm at, brethren. I'm trying to be kinder. I'm trying to be more gentle. I'm trying to be more forgiving, more gracious. Listen, the word of God says that the whole creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, that is us. That's us. And we might feel insignificant, but that is us, because we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to shine as light in the darkness. The situation around us socially, where we see standards are being broken down, and there is no adherence to any norms, that everybody is free to do what it is that they want to do. The me culture. People are taking pictures of their own selves and posting them online. It's the exaltation of a human.
Yes.
But brethren, we are called to be sanctified. We are called to be separated unto God.
Yes.
And we are called to be separated from sin. So I am encouraging us not to fall away from our steadfastness this morning. I want to touch on one. Sanctification is not. And understanding what sanctification is vital for thriving. Sanctification is not about perfection. It's about persistence. Because that process takes place over the greater part of our lives after we have come to faith in Jesus Christ. It is going to go on until Jesus comes or calls us home, and then we are going to experience glorification. So sanctification is not about perfection. It is about persistence. our struggle against sin is a lifetime endeavor. But as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the transformation into the character of Christ, is going to take place. The scripture in Ephesians says, until we all come, all of us, brethren, not one, not two, there must be a submission to the word of God so that we all come to unity of the faith. There is a standard in Christianity. You know, one time we had a panel discussion, and they were asking if there is a specific standard for how Christian women are to dress, or something to that effect. And you know, I was on the panel. And you know, we were saying, blah, 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 we used to do this in the olden days. And I said, yes, there is a standard. There is always a standard in Christ. Because the Bible guides every aspect of our lives. There is no, how you wear your children, how you deal with your husband, how you deal with your co-workers, how you deal with strangers. If we look in the Old Testament and see the nitty-gritty to which God regulated the society of the Jewish people. He told them how to dispose of their waste. He told them how to treat women during that time of the month. There is no aspect of their life that was not touched by the law of God. No aspect. You didn't have to guess what the behavior ought to be. It was there written out clearly for you. So sanctification is not about perfection, but it is about persistence towards the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Sure. It is not about religion, because people hear so much about gospel truth, they can contract an unholy familiarity with its word and phrases, and sometimes talk so fluently about its doctrine that you might think them to be true Christians. You know, I knew a girl some time back who, she got into a relationship with this guy, and she's a believer, and he made as if he was a believer. He acted as if he was a believer, and you know, they would talk about the word and everything and everything. And then soon after they got married, he started talking about her fire, her church was, and how some of the things that he sees there he don't agree with. And the truth about it is that, I mean, soon after that, this person left the church that they were an active member of, and, you know, was drawn away by this person who wasn't even a regular church attendant, but he had the trappings. He knew the word. You know, some people read the word, but they don't apply the word. And the next thing you know, the relationship breaks up, you know? And so it's not about people who just talk about religion. It's not a temporary religious feeling either. You know, people go to a crusade and they get emotional. And they are stirred, but they are not changed. You know, Lionel, I forget his last name, he has a song that says that it's not only, we are not only to be stirred, but we are to be changed, because we can be touched in our emotions. And then when that feeling wears off, we go back to whom we were. It's not, sanctification is not outward formalism or external devoutness. No. External righteousness is made a substitute for inward holiness. And so it's not that. It's not retirement from or renunciation of social duties. It is not the man who hides himself in a cave, but the man who glorifies God as master or servant, parent or child, in the family or in the street, in business or in trade, who is a scriptural type of sanctified man. It is not, sanctification is not occasional performance of right actions. Sanctification is not like a pump which sends out water when worked on from outside, but it is like a perpetual fountain from which a stream is ever flowing naturally and spontaneously. So true sanctification is not simply feeling closer to God or experiencing His presence. It is not a collection of secret insight or personal encouragement from Him to you. And it is not a vague sense of subjective spirituality. In fact, it is not measured, engaged, or informed by your emotions or feelings at all. Now, what are the means of sanctification or the methods of sanctification that we see in Scripture? Let me see. Okay. One means or method of sanctification is through the Word. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them or make them holy or set them apart to you through thy truth. Thy word is true. The word is a mirror where we see not only who God is, but we also see ourselves. And as we look into that perfect law of liberty, and we submit ourselves to its teachings, we can be and are supposed to be transformed into the image that we are looking at. Ephesians 5 verse 26 says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with the word. So the word of God plays a very important part in this process. We are to read it, study it, love it. Oh, how I love thy law, David said. And that is supposed to be our cry as well as we allow the word. Because the word of God says that the word is powerful. And it will do what it is supposed to do when we apply it. It can pierce, the word of God says, even to the division of soul and marrow. And that is way down. My marrow is inside of your bone. So you see how far, there is nothing that is hid from that word. It searches the heart. And so it can reveal to us where sin is, where these little things. Like I said, most of us are not committing what we might call big sins. But we have little things in us that the word of God needs to be applied to so that we are purified, so that we can be clean, so that when the world look at us with scorn, our lives will tell a different story as to exactly who we are. Another means of sanctification is the glory of God. And the glory of God is the visible presence of God. Exodus 29 verse 43 tells us, and God was speaking about the tabernacle, that it will be sanctified by his glory. So as God's presence comes among us, and as we live in the light of the knowledge that he is with us, then we are sanctified, we are set apart, we are made holy, we are purified. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2 mentions also that those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. That one other means of sanctification is the Spirit of God. So we have the Word of God, the glory of God, and the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11, you were washed, you were sanctified by the Spirit of our God. 1 Peter 1 verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience.
Yes.
Romans 5 and verse 16 speaks of sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is also a means of sanctification. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 2 verse 11 sanctified a person. I'm sorry. Sanctification set a person apart for service through purification from sin and conformity to the holiness of God. Leviticus 6 verse 8 mentions, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So, true sanctification, and I'm coming down, shows itself in these ways when we are sanctified. And the important and interesting part about what I'm going to say, the next five things I'm going to say, is the word habitual. Because, like I said, sanctification is a process which takes place over the majority of our Christian life. Once we have accepted Christ and have been justified, then the process of sanctification begins and it continues. So our persistence in that endeavor is very important. Habitual respect to God's law and habitual effort to live in obedience to it as the rule of life. So we see the supremacy of the Word of God in the process of sanctification. The same Holy Spirit who convinces the believer of sin by the law and leads him to Christ for justification will also lead him to a spiritual use of the law as a friendly guide in the pursuit of sanctification. Habitual endeavors to do God's will and to live by his practical precepts. Anyone who supposes that Christ's precepts as recorded in the gospel were spoken without the intention of promoting holiness and that a Christian need not attend to them in his daily life is really little better than a lunatic, and at any rate is a grossly ignorant person. And we are not ignorant. We know that what the word says is what we are to live by. Habitual desire to live up to the standard which St. Paul set before the churches in his writing. In Paul's writing, we find a large quantity of plain practical direction about the Christian duty in every relation of life and about our daily habits, temper, and behavior to one another. 4, habitual attention to the active graces which our Lord so beautifully exemplified, and especially to the grace of charity. A sanctified man will try to do good in the world and to lessen the sorrow and increase the happiness of all around him. He will aim to be like his master, full of kindness and love to everyone, by deeds and actions and self-denying work, according as he has opportunity. And the last one is habitual attention to the passive graces of Christianity, those graces which are especially shown in submission to the will of God, and in bearing and forbearing towards one another. Of one thing I feel very sure, it is nonsense to pretend to sanctification unless we follow after the meekness, the gentleness, the patience, and forgiveness of which the Bible makes so much. People who are habitually giving way to peevish and cross tempers in daily life and are constantly sharp with their tongues and disagreeable to all around them. Spiteful people, vindictive people, revengeful people, malicious people, all of whom the word is only twofold. All such know little as they should know about sanctification. So we see that this is not something that is impossible for us. It is the will of God for us that we continue to allow ourselves, as we have been made separate unto him, that we should bring our lives in accordance with his word, so that we can be purified of the works of the flesh in our body.
Yes.
That's it. Thank you very much for having me. I hope that you have been encouraged today. I'm not here to indict, but to encourage us, brethren, to hold fast to the truth that we know, so that we do not stray away from our foundations. God bless you. Amen.